Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the New Testament and find the book of 2 Peter. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
2 Peter. How wonderful to go to the house of God.
Amen.
The house of prayer. Singing. Rejoicing, assembling with the Lord's people. Thank God for it. Bless the Lord. The church is the most wonderful thing on the face of the earth. And if you don't go to it, you can't have it. Thank the Lord. Hadn't he been good to us? Bless the Lord. 2 Peter. And the first, second chapter. I want a scriptural burden on my heart tonight. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus given unto us. Lord, thank you for the Holy Ghost given unto us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Bible, where it all makes sense. Lord, breathe on our gathering, Lord, this sacred assembly. Thank you for this series of assemblies that's been called for. Lord, that we could come, gather around thy feet, sit at thy feet and hear thy word. Lord, strengthen and stir. Make preaching what you meant it to be. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And all the Lord's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. We want to invite all of you. We got Pastor Chris Hanks here tonight. Married my older sister. Many of you came to the Rome Baptist camp meeting. And we want to invite you again, February the 26th. It's a long ways away, long enough for me to hold a grudge against one or two of you that didn't show up. And you was? I did, yeah, see. And so I'm going to get your daddy to whoop you. Your daddy was there. I know it, and I'm holding a grudge. And I won't hold it longer than 6 to 9 months. That's my general policy. But we want to thank y'all for coming. This church brought their Wednesday night service. My good friends helped carry the meeting. And Brother Hudgens, I'll be praying a lot for you and yours. And nobody else. Oh, thank y'all for coming, and mark it down, February the 26th, and we'll go again Wednesday night through Saturday morning, and it's good to see the men of God here tonight and the people of God, and we're going to have a summer youth meeting and bring you young people, a good chance for some of my other friends to redeem themselves, and Thursday night, Friday morning, and Friday night, we'll be back at the Rome Baptist Temple. We're going to start up the old Redfield meeting, but we're going to have Redfield on the road. And we're going to have that summer youth meeting at Rome this summer. Then we're going to take it to Tampa, Florida. And then we'll take it to Manhattan, Kansas. And then we'll take it to Baltimore, Maryland. Then we'll take it to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then we're going to take it to up near Charleston, West Virginia. And a lot of youth groups then will be able to come that can't all travel. That's just what the Lord laid on my heart. To put the summer Redfield meeting. We're going to put up that tent and put hay bales. and let the youngins come and seek the Lord's face. Georgia is a has-been place when it comes to revival and the power of God. But I'm not going to settle for that. By the grace of God, we're not going to settle for that. The Lord, I've been compiling a list of great preachers, great Georgia preachers. And you got George Whitfield, going all the way back to George Whitfield and John Wesley. Savannah, and all through. I was born in Whitfield County and up in Dalton. And that was Cherokee County until George Whitfield came and God moved in such a big way. But I was thinking about Joe Parsons. I come through R. Murchie to come here. Brother Joe Parsons. Think about Curtis Hudson, Forest Hills Baptist Church, before he went to the Sword of the Lord. I think about men who are not worldwide known, but men like Charles Williams and men like C.L. Roach and Virgil Barnard. And going way back to Adoniram Judson, the first missionary to ever leave American soil, his friend Luther Rice, Columbia University, Georgetown University, two of the prestigious universities within two blocks of our nation's capital were seminaries started by missionary Luther Rice. And he's had the Luther Rice Seminary in Augusta, Georgia. And then they moved it to Atlanta. One of the very first. Adoniram Judson went to Burma and India and China. The first American missionary to ever leave American soil and go overseas. And Luther Rice is one of his closest friends. And Adoniram Judson was always upset at him that he wouldn't come to the mission field. But Luther Rice said God put it in his heart to start schools for preachers and raise money for missions. And that's what he did. And that was a Georgia preacher. Well, you got Sam Jones, the great Methodist evangelist, Cartersville, Georgia. And I think about these things of days gone by. Some people in some parts of the world, there was Sammy Allen, Resaca, and then down over in Augusta, there was Larry Brown. And there were different men. I don't know if anybody ever knew Dr. Jim Rushing in Atlanta, Georgia. And what a ministry he had. Of course, we had Martin Luther King Jr. in it. Never mind. I guess communists shouldn't make the list. Pardon me. But, I'm so glad. We have a heritage. We had, that last part was a joke. Y'all do know that was a joke. He's not on my list. And that one particular day every year, I work overtime. But I have news for you. Georgia is a has-been place. America is a has-been. The apostasy in our generation is worldwide. Don't think it's just an American problem. The nations, COVID put all the nations on the same communist agenda. And a little trial run was run by the Antichrist or his first cousin, Hillary Clinton. Did I say that? This is why you shouldn't live stream my stuff. I bring lawsuits to churches all across the country. It's my joke. Call CLA, you'll be all right. And COVID put all the nations on the same page. And they're saying they could lock down the whole world and control every citizen. And they could even inject stuff in you. And I know some people took the vaccine thinking it's good, and some people didn't thinking that was good. I had some missionaries with our World Harvest Baptist Missions, some of our missionaries in the Far East. had to take the vaccine or couldn't go in those countries. And they didn't trust it. But they took it. And you know what scripture they told me? At the end of March 16, they said the Lord gave them comfort. They should take up serpents and drink deadly poison, and it wouldn't hurt them.
Right.
I'm so glad I'm so saved, ain't you?
Right.
Oh, dear neighbor, I have news for you. We're a has-been nation, spiritually speaking, and the South is a has-been region. But I heard a knock on the door at the end of Revelation 3 that led to seeing church right before the rapture in Revelation 4:1. Come up hither. And I heard a knock at the door. And it was Jesus, and he was wanting in. And wanting to have supper. I've preached for 2 years now on the actual Last Supper. We might be having it right before we go to the marriage supper. I'll sup with him. He didn't promise any other church that in them seven churches. But the last one at the very end, he promised, I'll come in and sup with you. Look at me wanting to run a rabbit. The old timers didn't have supper till the day was done. Took off their shoes and washed their face. The day was done. The sun was setting. Amen. And it wasn't a warmed up TV dinner either. Churned their own butter and milked their own cow and grew their own country veggies. Can I get a witness? Now, I'm not near as country boy as I might be trying to sound. If I can't find anything, I will get a TV dinner. But, oh, dear neighbor, I'll just scratch out TV. I'm against that part, but I'll eat the dinner. Amen. Oh, my. Supper time. Well, bless the Lord. I come tonight to look at a piece of scripture the Lord's laid on my heart. And again, Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. 2 Peter chapter 1. Interested in one thing. Whereby? Well, I guess I need to start in verse 3. If I read too much, I'll preach all night, which would be okay. Verse 3. According, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Thank you. The divine nature. Well, I just want to thank the Lord that getting saved gives you the divine nature. Thank the Lord for it. Oh, what a wonderful thing. The divine nature. Now, Simon Peter knew about that because of what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Can I get a witness? What did he see up yonder? Well, he saw that divine nature come out of our Lord Jesus. Luke said it was glistering, whiter than any fuller on earth can dye them. Oh, ain't y'all looking forward to going to glory?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Y'all reckon them white robes are not made of any cloth this world knows?
Yeah, right.
I need a little help.
Right.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? Silk? It could be polyester. There's going to be Independent Baptists there. Can I get a witness? Amen. That's why we slide, backslide so easily. We're wearing polyester. I went to a tent meeting one night, and a man had bought, I left all my suits somewhere. They bought me 3 new suits, and they were $90 each, and they should have been $60. They were all polyester. And honest before the heavens, I was sitting on a metal chair, and it was on a hill in North Carolina, and I kept sliding out of my chair. I said, oh, I miss my woolen cotton mixed fabric. It'll hold you. Oh, dear, that's the truth. And then I wore the same suit in South Carolina, and it was October, but it got a little colder than they thought. And they put out one of them propane heaters, but it looked like a blower for your lawn. And they put it up on the platform. That thing was blowing heat on the poor little 30 people there. That man runs 500 now in his church. But it just started, and there were 30. And I backed up too close. I backed up too close to that thing in my polyester britches. And I come in there, they were 2 inches too long. And when I left, they were high waters. That thing shrunk right up. I felt it when it happened, neighbor. You better believe I felt it when it happened. That's easy, Bill. And, well, them robes in glory. He said those, that's the righteousness of saints. That fine linen, Revelation said, is the righteousness of saints. Y'all let me run a little trail, a little side trail here for a minute. Thank God when that divine nature come bursting out of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke said it was glistering. Psalm 103 or 104 talks about the saints in light. Colossians chapter 1 talks about the saints being robed in light. And Paul talked about the robes of righteousness. Y'all ain't helping me. Thank God there's a holy nature been born in me. Thank God. And Simon Peter saw it coming out of the Savior. And then he got it when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all better help me tonight. He saw it on that mount. Then he stood there in Acts chapter 2, friend, and fire licking up off of their heads. And 17 nations were mentioned. And the Bible said in Acts 2, I think it's verse 5, every nation under heaven was represented. Out of every nation under heaven. You said, how's that possible? You might want to go look and see what God categorizes as a nation.
Right.
But every nation under heaven was represented. And every man heard them speak in his own tongue.
Right.
I'll promise you, 15 seconds, side note. All these modern day women and effeminate men babbling in so-called tongues in Wesleyan Holiness Methodist product Pentecostal churches is not of God. You said, well, my granny and my great aunt, I'm sure they're fine people and they probably could even cook good, which is a good thing. But I got news for you. I don't care who you kin to, doctrine matters. Doctrine matters. And honey, you don't think that Bible, it ain't a sword that'll divide right down the middle of family members. You better stick with the Word of God and not your kinfolk. Love them, try not to mistreat them, or just don't mistreat them. Sometimes I have to try. Love them and be kind to them, but stick with the Word of God, even if it messes up Thanksgiving and the family reunion. Amen. And while I'm there, don't drag your youngins over to a relative's house that are drinking beer and smoking smoke and blaspheming the Lord's name. You ain't got to please your family. You got to please the Lord Jesus. Mark that down. We live close enough to Alabama where they'll split a church and kill a preacher just cause an uncle they don't even like got his feelings hurt. I need a little help. West Georgia's got 9 million churches that the Lord did not start. You better pray he joins them eventually. Most of them he won't. Brother, I got news for you. Sound doctrine matters. The truth matters. Remember Dr. John Phillips, that old Welsh preacher gone to glory. I heard him illustrate it by a young woman riding a train. And it made a stop, and it made another stop, and they were up in Alaska. And then it made a stop, and somebody, she said, "Is this my stop?" And two or three people said, "Yes, that's your stop." And she got off, and then they pulled off, and it wasn't even a stop. They had to make an emergency stop. And later, when they come back and found her, she is froze stiff to death in that Alaskan snow. Let me tell you something. You better have your information right. You follow Muhammad, you'll wake up in a messed up part of hell. You worship the Mother Mary, you'll wake up in a messed up part of hell. You follow a Russellite, Jehovah's false witness, a Campbellite, not the Church of Christ. Brother, you follow wrong instructions and your young ones will never know the truth and they'll never get saved. The Bible matters. The truth matters. Southern Baptist Convention had a big split in the last get together. And the reason I'm an old time independent Baptist, because we don't vote on the Word of God every September and every 3 years. I need a little help right there. We ain't voting on the Bible and the Word of God. You ain't got to write articles and creeds and little declarations and little charters. Just open up a piece of scripture. Ordaining women ministers. It's where the Methodists have gotten to. Southern Baptists started. Rick Warren out there with his purpose-driven book. If you're a bestseller at Walmart and if you're the world's pastor, I'm pretty sure you might not belong to the Lord Jesus. They hated me, said Jesus. John 16, they're going to hate you and drag you in front of the council down at the church and kill you. I need a little help. Amen. I'm not one for names, but I'm a little fella. They don't know us. They'll never hear of us. No wonder T.D. Jakes took the direction he took. I used to enjoy listening to him preach. And Rick Warren. And so Rick Warren, they got in that Southern Baptist thing. And they got there last year. And he's ordained 3 women to preach in his church out in California. If that's where it is. And ordained 3 women. And they took him to task on it. And he said the word woman. He said it's one word out of, and somehow he had how many words were in the New Testament. He said, folks, it's just one word out of so many hundreds of thousands of words. He said, one word can't matter that much. Well, woman or man, it matters.
Amen.
I married a woman, it matters. That little W-O made a difference. I wouldn't want to get that word wrong. Whoa, man. Help me right there. I'm not going to go any further down that trail, but let's just say, whoa, man. Yeah, it matters. Amen. And is this not, the only reason I brought that up is because Lucifer is whispering in Eve's ear. And he just changed one word.
That's right. You're right. Amen, preacher.
He took one word out and Eve added one word. And reckon that's why the Lord wouldn't let women be preachers after the whole Eve. Maybe y'all were going to get to be, but then talk to Eve in the millennial reign. You messed it up, honey. Oh, God made man to be the head and made woman to be the heart.
Yeah.
Girls, don't feel too bad. You get to boss us men around until we're about 20 or 25. Do we have any mothers in the building? Can I get a witness? And over in Alabama, it's age 35. They boss their sons around. Can I get a witness right there? Oh, dear. That's what he said. He said, does one word matter? Well, let's go talk to Eve. Satan added one word and she dropped one, or vice versa. Just one word. God had to prepare a place called hell. Didn't even intend for sinners to go there. But that's where they'll go now, most of them. Because of that sin nature. Oh, that divine nature. Peter saw it in the Savior. Peter received it that day. Well, to be technical, God breathed on them 12 at the end of John. John 20, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That's where the indwelling was, Brother Micah. Then you turn your Bible one page to Acts chapter 2. And he fell on the whole church. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you something tonight. Thank God for that divine nature. Oh, bless the Lord. How good it is to be saved. Divine nature. John 3 said you must be born again. Can I tell you, the new birth is not something that happens in you. It's somebody that happens in you. What is that new birth? It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. It's Colossians 1:27. Christ in you. Divine nature. Look at it for a moment. Come on down to chapter 1. What does it mean when you have to take your glasses off to be able to read? It means your friends are getting old. 2 Peter chapter 1. He's talking about it here. There it is. You see verse 16? "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Can I get a little witness right there? Who was up on that mountain? "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, look at me just 1 second up there on that mount. Who was up there? Who was up there when that glory burst out of him? Moses. Elijah. Peter. And then James and John. What about Moses? And James and John didn't say anything. You had Moses and Elijah talking to the Lord from the other world, showed up. There was a heavenly voice that day. There was a heavenly vision. There was heavenly visuals. There was heavenly visitors. There was a lot of heavenly stuff breaking out that day. And Simon Peter spoke up, didn't he? You know he was a Baptist preacher. Y'all remember what he said? He said, "It's good to be here." Come on, y'all ain't helping me. That's the first thing he said, and he started a building program. That's how we know it. He said, "It's good to be here." Now, I've been working on a blueprint right here. That's how we know it. The Roman Catholics missed it. He was a Baptist preacher. All right, when you interrupt Jesus and the two big bad boys from the OT, you are a Baptist preacher a little bit full of yourself still. Simon Peter. Now, who was that? Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophet. And Peter with them keys fixing to be on his neck representing the apostles. And what the Lord do? God the Father come from heaven and said, "We don't need three buildings, Peter. This is my beloved son. If we could get folks in the South to give up their heroes and worship the Lord Jesus. Some people are plugged into Moses, don't even know Jesus. Y'all ever heard of the Pharisees? Some people are plugged into Elijah. Buying all the prophecy books, watching all the prophecy preachers, and getting all in the prophecy movies and don't even go to a local church. Don't tell me you know him. Prophecy's not meant to be sensational. It's meant to be spiritual. If prophecy tickles your fancy, it ain't from the Word of God. Amen! Real second coming preaching and teaching makes a saint want to get pure and go win sinners. Not get all excited and go call an extra local church Bible study. Don't even go to your own Sunday school and start a Bible study. Jennifer may have put pepper in my grits this morning. I'm not sure what happened. I got to go to the eye doctor in the morning. Y'all are getting the best of it. Oh, I got news for you. Dear time. And then there's Peter representing the apostles. Roman Catholics got that all messed up, don't they? I've been in that Vatican that several times. And honey, they'll worship Mary and they'll worship Peter. Rubbed his foot, rubbed his toe right off of that larger than life statue, kissing his toe, kissing his feet. How much kissing you got to do on a stone statue to rub half a foot off?
Go ahead, preacher.
Through the centuries. I went in the little side room. Well, actually, we went down into Paul. They don't like Paul in Rome. They don't like Paul in Athens. Did y'all know they don't like Paul in all your liberal Baptist churches and Protestant churches? They don't like Paul. They don't like Paul. They don't like the Jesus of Revelation 1. They like the Jesus of Matthew 1. They like baby Jesus. The Roman Catholic Jesus is always on a cross. And he's always dead. Every Jesus that I saw in Rome, he's on the cross and dead. Or he's the baby. We went down into Paul's prison, the Maritime prison. And they don't even hardly, there's nothing said about Paul. Paul was a New Testament gospel preacher. They didn't like his message. They like baby Jesus and they like dead Jesus. They like Jesus the leader, Jesus the revolutionary, Jesus the teacher, Jesus the example. They don't like Jesus the resurrected Savior and soon coming King. We went down in that prison and they had a whole thing on Peter, and the old timers that raised me don't even believe that Peter went to Rome. They had a whole thing on Simon Peter. And over in the corner was a dead Jesus, life size, hanging on the cross. And you sit down and they did a big presentation. This is in Paul's prison. That Roman Catholics run everything. We don't know too much about it here in the South. Europe, half of Asia, half of Africa, all of Central America, your northern states, all them Latinos in California and coming up through there. Roman Catholicism is a poison and a plague. We don't know much about it here in the South, thank God. We had some real revival. And we're going straight from real church to paganism. And I suggest you keep your children separated from this world and separated in your home. Or you lose your own youngins to heathenism. And so, we're sitting in there and they did a whole presentation on Peter. And with the Jesus on the cross right there. You know what they said? They said, "Oh, our Father Peter." Well, that's the first time my stomach turned. Our Holy Father, our High Father. And then they said to our Divine Savior, Peter. whose blood, when he was crucified here in Rome, they claim, whose blood trickled into the water of that, what's that river? It's not the Thames. It might be running right through Rome. I got London mixed up in my head. Is it the Thames? Right through Rome. Whose blood dripped in the river of Rome, and the nations have been coming to Rome ever since. This is what they're saying. To take this holy water and wash away their sins. I have news, y'all. It ain't about Moses, Judaizers. It ain't about Elijah, sensational religions. It ain't about Peter, Catholics. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, dear neighbor. There it is. That divine nature. And for all the charismatics, look in verse 18. 2 Peter 1:18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Wow. Hey, y'all. Wouldn't that have been something? Yeah. Been standing up there and somehow Moses and Elijah show up from the other side. That's how we know there's not a soul asleep. God buried Moses. Nobody knows where his body is but the devil. Michael the archangel and the devil over there contending over the body of Moses. God buried him somewhere. But there he's standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. And no, his body's not been resurrected yet. I need a little help. This voice. Wouldn't y'all like to have been there?
Yes, sir.
James and John, the sons of thunder. They were about passed out and scared to death. God knows how to take your thunder from you.
Yes, sir.
He knows how to take your thunder from you. He'll do it. Be careful, Mr. Macho Man. Be careful, Mr. Macho Man. And we don't want no beta males. Help me now. We don't want no little limp-wristed millennial snowflakes. We don't want your girlfriend to be wearing the stomping boots and be able to whoop you. I need a little help. But we need you to be a real man. Not full of bluster and ego and a smart aleck mouth. I'm talking to all the macho men. Your muscles ain't where your strength is. And your mouth ought not be your biggest muscle. That kind of tickled me when I said it. I was trying to chew you up, but I got tickled. Oh, be real careful in this hour. We need masculine men. We need men full of the Holy Ghost. We need men that know that they're a man, and men that'll be strong in the Lord Jesus. So be careful with all that swagger. All that alpha male swagger. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So all of our, here come our charismatics, looking for visions, looking for voices, looking for visitors. Dear time. He says something real interesting here. I need everybody, you got your Bible? Raise it up just for a minute. Raise it up just for a minute. Let's go ahead and do what Brother Mike Bagwell's told us. Give it a little hug. Give your Bible a hug. There's some men, and there's whole generations of Christians that shed their blood so you could keep a copy of the Word of God. They died at martyrs' fires, and they shed their blood so you and I could have a Bible. Brother Bagwell said, "Give it a kiss." That's what he told us, ain't it, Brother Chris? Give it a kiss. Hallelujah. Now, some of you looking for visitors and voices and visions. Peter says something real interesting here. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What? How you going to tell me you got something more sure than what you've seen, Peter? You saw glory coming out of Jesus. You saw the law and the prophet, the two Old Testament witnesses. You saw that bright cloud overshadowing. You heard God's voice coming out of there. Peter said, yeah, I've seen all that, but I got something more sure.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You better believe we've got our King James Bible tonight.
Amen. Thank God.
You're looking at one preacher who believed down to the very rock bottom, the deeps of my soul, that every modern version that you got came from the 1885 Revised Standard Version, which came out of Africa, out of a Roman Catholic monastery, because when the devil realized he couldn't burn that King James Bible, he couldn't block it, he couldn't bend it, he decided, if I can't beat you, I'm going to join you, and so he gave you 100 Bibles.
Yeah,
and it, back to 20 minutes ago, it does matter. One word changed does matter. I'm keeping my King James Bible. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Where unto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. I'm about to run down this middle aisle with my gout, diabetes feet. Kick the devil in the head. Amen. I'm going to the foot doctor Thursday, so we'll at least I'll be able to see him then. Until the day dawn. Hallelujah. By the way, my foot doctor, his name is Aaron Daniel Solomon. I said, my feet are in good hands.
Yeah.
He didn't know what I said.